Moncrief on News Talk.
We're playing tag across Europe, but that bell means it's 6 a.m. and Ben's the runner, so he's got to go, Ben.
Okay, we're here in Charleville, of course, because no tag backs, right? So we've got to stay stationary, or basically stationary, for 45 minutes. So we've actually got a good amount of time to plan and strategize and explain what this is all about.
We're in Charleville-Mézières, France, because it's the approximate midpoint between our three finish line locations. In this game, Ben's trying to get here to Borkum, Germany, Adam's trying to get here to Jersey, UK, and I, Sam, am trying to get here to Zermatt, Switzerland. While you're the runner, you can move towards your location. If you successfully reach your location, you win immediately. Otherwise, the win goes to whoever's location is closest to the runner at the end of 3 days, but while you're running, the other two are it, aka chasers. They'll have a live tracker on the runner and will work together to tag them. After a tag, positions rotate. The runner becomes a chaser, and the next chaser becomes the runner. All of which is why Ben needs to get out of Charleville-Mézières as soon as possible.
That's Jetlag the Game. You can stream Season 8 this Wednesday on Nebula and catch up on YouTube, all of which, of course, begs the question, what the hell is Nebula? The man to answer that question is James Dempsey. James, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
So what is Nebula first?
Okay, so Nebula is a big player in the alternative scene to YouTube, but that still means it's very, very small. So it's basically a lot of content creators on YouTube now debut their stuff on Nebula first, which is a subscription-based YouTube, right? Put it that way. But you might think that's a bit mad. Why would you sign up for that? And I'm not necessarily saying people run out and, you know, get their subscription to that, but why I kind of picked this show is someone actually proposed it to me on Twitter, or X, I guess as it's known now. And YouTube has become silently the winner of the streaming wars. And you wouldn't necessarily think that outright, but actually, according to like a recent study, 10% of all streaming in the US is done on YouTube. And it is by far the most popular streamer amongst all US consumers. And the reasons for that are obvious. One, you don't have to pay for it, and two, it's great for the, you know, for Apple or Alphabet, I guess is what they go by now, right? They get all of this free content on their service that they don't have to pay a penny for either, and it is exceptionally popular. And this show, Jetlag, is really one of them, and it's something that I'd never come across until a couple of weeks ago, and it is a very, very entertaining little romp. Now, what I would liken it to is a bit like back in the days of, you know, the glory days, we'll say, of Top Gear, when the three lads would, you know, go off on a little kind of transcontinental adventure in a single episode, and it would be very entertaining. And this is that kind of thing, right? So the eighth season of it is starting on Wednesday on Nebula. It'll debut later on YouTube. And across its seven seasons, which, by the way, have been made in less than a year and a half, right? So they're really like churning these out. Now, some of them are only three episodes, some of them are five episodes. I think one gets as high as seven. But in the first one, these four guys, Sam Denby, Adam Chase, and Ben Doyle. And then in the first season, they're joined by an Irish guy named Brian McManus, who is a YouTuber who runs an account about engineering projects. They play Connect Four in the Midwestern states. So they have to race to the state capital, they have to complete a challenge, and then they claim the state. And they have, you know, the first person to get a straight line horizontally and or vertically wins, or the first team, rather. And it is this madcap race across the US while they're trying to solve all these challenges. In the second season, they circumnavigate the world. In the third season, they're playing tag across Europe. In later seasons, they go to New Zealand, they go to Japan, they go flying off, and they chase each other around the world or capture the flag or various different things. And what's kind of interesting about this is, like, if I was a broadcaster and a strap-cashed one at that, I'd be looking at this with great trepidation, because this is a completely DIY-done thing, right? These guys, Sam Denby, Adam Chase, Ben Doyle, they had successful YouTube careers, or I should say one of them had, Sam Denby. I mean, he had followers, he had accounts, he had subscribers who liked and shared, etc. And he came up with this idea and sort of and self-financed it, right? So, like, this is completely and utterly done by himself and the two other guys. They are the camera operators. They are the editors, or at least they have in-house editing. They run around filming themselves while they're taking part in this madcap adventure. And it is produced, obviously, at expense. I mean, the whole thing must cost, you know, a lot of money. But compared to a traditional TV budget where they would have to, you know, hire union paying production staff, etc., the overhead is minuscule. So and it is extremely, extremely popular. So popular, in fact, that it for Nebula, it has been a huge asset in the sense that it has brought a huge number of new subscribers to the show or to the platform. Now, a huge number is still only around 600,000, which is not absolutely massive. But, you know, on a global stage, we'll say, right, like YouTube is not quaking in its boots such it is losing out on these, on its ad revenue. But it's more just to show that, like, YouTube is a content created driven arena, and there is no end to content on it. I mean, there are billions and billions and billions and billions of hours of data and video put on there every single year. And it is made completely and utterly for free by its content creators for its host. And when you compare that to Netflix, which is, you know, currently leading the streaming war, the reason why it's doing so well is because it was the first to get into the game, right? So it had, like, it has the deepest library going back years. But even it has canceled shows on a whim, and that whim being financial crises inside the thing. And it's running always at a loss. All of these are running at a loss until they win the war, and then they'll up the price to whatever they want it to be. But YouTube is sort of silently winning the Cold War of the streaming wars through shows like this that are made by its own creators that find a huge audience and that are really fun to watch.
Mm, most importantly, I would have thought.
Definitely.
Yeah. How are they making money out of it then? Are YouTube giving them money? Is Nebula giving them money?
So Nebula is owned by content creators themselves, so they get a share of whatever profit it is, right? Mm. But as for how do YouTubers make money, well, a couple of different ways, right? So they can monetize their videos and create, and adverts run before and during, and the more adverts that run, and these are often unskippable adverts, so you can't, like, you as a consumer cannot but endure the 10-second ad for whatever. So they earn their money through that. They also earn their money through paid sponsorship. Now, that's a bit more of a nebulous area, like all influencing, but there are strict guidelines on how they have to kind of promote it. And if you watch regularly any YouTube content, you'll see it's the same kind of services being sponsoring them all, and they're usually like VPNs or other kind of tech-based things like skill sharing websites or like Squarespace, which is a website builder, that kind of thing. So like that's how they're making their money. And let me tell you, there is a huge amount of money to make on this, and it's kind of very interesting. Last week there was a very viral video, and you're going to think I'm mad when I say you should sit down and watch this 4-hour YouTube video, but you should. It's by a YouTuber named H Bomber Guy, and he did this 4-hour treatise on plagiarism on YouTube and how rife it is and how much worse a problem it is going to get post sort of the advent of ChatGPT and other AIs. And that is the danger that is sort of lurking on the on the long finger for YouTube. This fact that it's a bit of a lawless content wasteland where kind of anything can go up and anyone can kind of copy anyone, and they'll need to sort of sort that out. That's their main battle to fight as we go forward, because their issue isn't getting subscribers; they already have them.
Right. Okay. So half the people listening to us now, James, are digging a camera out of the attic. Right. We'll move on to our second show. It is Man versus Ocean. You can catch up now on the RT Player. Here's a clip.
You're gone. It's going to be lonely without you.
There's never an individual pursuit.
Go with docks. Packed with people around the finish for both of us. It's hugging and holding the tripod.
I cursed him many a time. I had bags of resentment. Like, man, leaving me here to do this on my own. I couldn't reason it with myself. Like, I was like, why? You can't, like, the guy had to get off.
There was one day that they had where they were 2 or 3 miles away from breaking the world record for the amount of miles done in a day. They were on record pace, basically.
It just meant that there was no world record. It wasn't this pair's world record attempt then, it was just a get across the ocean attempt, you know?
Right, so should it not be men versus ocean or men versus men on the ocean?
Oh, yeah, I know. Or like, men versus, why are you doing this? Is kind of what I got from it. So So this is like a documentary. It's made by a Polish, you know, a Polish director who lives here in Ireland. His name is Tomek Chesky, and it follows the exploits of Damien Brown and Fergus Farrell, who are Damien Brown is a former rugby player, and Fergus Farrell is his old friend. They're both from Galway, and they decided that they would try to break the world record for rowing across the Atlantic Ocean, and in doing so, raise money for charity. And sort of, to be honest, the project was beset by difficulties right from the very beginning, because they started their sort of process for it throughout the pandemic, which was, or maybe right before the pandemic hit, rather, which was obviously not an ideal time to be drumming up support for, you know, this kind of thing. And then it's like, this is a very, very interesting documentary, because what I found it really portrayed was how grim and difficult something like this is. I suppose, like, you know, objective, like, hypothetically, I guess I could imagine rowing across the Atlantic is pretty grim, right?
Yeah.
Like, but until you sort of see it as a fly on the wall in their tiny little, you know, cabin in their rowboat, as they're on day 12 and already going absolutely, you know, already dealing with the most intense stress of their lives, you're kind of thinking, oh my God, and there's another 100 days of this to go. Okay, lads, I'm not sure about this. And basically, it makes for incredibly riveting viewing because of that. Now, it's a bit of a mix, right? You have your two figures. Damien Brown is kind of a professional adventurer. He gave, you know, he retired from rugby playing and has gone on to climb, you know, the highest peaks. And he'd already rowed across the Atlantic at one point as a solo person getting into this. But he's also sort of, he cuts an intriguing figure, because, you know, you're hearing him talk about all of this adventuring that he does, and it seems to be a very solo activity. But then suddenly, out of nowhere, is revealed a very young daughter and the mother of that child, with whom he is in a long-term relationship. And you're sort of thinking, now, okay, are you doing this right? And then he's talking about how this has, you know, been very difficult for his or I think they're married anyway, for their relationship. How he comes back from his adventuring and they have to sort of fall in love with each other again because of sort of resentments brewing. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, this is quite juicy little gossip on the side. And then Fergus Farrell is also a very intriguing figure, because he was paralyzed for a while. He suffered a workplace accident, and it seemed like he was never going to walk again, and he had learned to do, he had overcome all the adversity and odds to do that, and he is taking on this challenge of, you know, rowing across the Atlantic, and for reasons I won't get into, it doesn't go right for the pair of them, and it ends up with just one of them left on the boat. And watching that whole, you know, watching that unfold and come to light, and the action that takes place en route is really tense. I mean, it is as tense as anything I've seen on TV this year, and just made me, at one hand, extremely admire them for the arduous task that they have taken on. Something I won't ever be doing, I'll tell you that for sure. But secondly, it sort of also becomes almost mind-bogglingly difficult. Like, they are going through such misery that I'm sort of going, why are you doing this? You know, like, what is the purpose? And I will say, right at the very end, we get a nice title card saying, they raised an awful lot of money for charity, so credit where it is due. But it's sort of just like looking at these two men pushing themselves to the brink and beyond their ability, and just the kind of highs and lows of the drama of that is really, really compelling viewing.
Okay, we'll move on to something quite different. It's Smothered. You can stream all of season one on Sky Comedy and Now TV. Here's a clip.
That was nice.
Nice! Well, I might be doing moves on a vinyl boozy if you're talking about nice.
Well, I was trying to play it cool.
Well, it's not working.
So you're already off dating?
Yes, I am.
So I just can't see you again?
No, we can't. Unless... Okay, hold on, I'm having one more ideas.
What's happening?
No, don't speak, just... Okay, yeah, okay, we should have an affair.
I mean, what?
Like a real one, from the past. No last names, no details. At the end of it, we just walk in different directions on a bridge or something.
I don't really think that's a thing, but...
No pretending it's gonna go anywhere, no getting deep. Just, we can have a time limit even. 3 weeks and we're done. Come on, let's have an affair.
All right.
Oh, really? Okay, it was that easy.
Yeah, like 3 weeks of whatever you want, obviously. I'm in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, so James, There's some writing chops here in the sense that there's a link with Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, so the writer of this is Monica, I'm going to say Heisey, I'm not sure how she pronounces it. She's a Canadian writer. She wrote on Schitt's Creek, but she also wrote a novel that either came out this year or last year that was very, very popular, named Really Good, actually. It was kind of a slightly fictionalized account of her own life because she got divorced in her late 20s and there was this dearth of material about that. So she wrote this novel that became a bit of a publishing sensation. And through that, she got sort of approached to write various TV shows, one of which went straight to Sky. And normally, that's not exactly the top place I'd be going to find a brand new sitcom. And this feels very much like something that would appear on Channel 4. And I mean that in a positive light, right? This is very, very charming. It's a simple little romantic comedy, but it's buoyed up by good writing, very charming performances, and really good jokes. Solid, solid, pleasant, funny jokes. So it stars Danielle Vitalis as Sammy, who's 20-something, who's looking for love, but in all the wrong places, who bumps into, in a karaoke bar, a man named Tom. He's played by John Poynting, who people would recognize from Big Boys, which was on Channel 4 probably about 2 years ago, maybe at this point, a year, maybe. And they hit it off, and as we heard in the clip there, she kind of proposes, she's so unlucky in love that she proposes, why don't we just have a 3-week fling, we learn nothing about each other, and then go our separate ways at the end. And I sort of expected it to be this kind of drawn out 3-week long adventure across 6 episodes, but that all comes to an end by the first episode, and it moves, zips along at a nice pace. There's Aisling Bea in a supporting role that gets bigger throughout the series, and all in, it's a very, very charming thing that is easy to watch in one or two sittings, which is exactly how I lapped it up. I found it very, very funny.
They were half-hour episodes, weren't they?
They were.
You can always tell. Those three shows are Jetlag, The Game. You can stream Season 8 this Wednesday on Nebula or catch up on YouTube. Man vs. Ocean, you can catch up now on the RTE Player. Or Smothered, you can stream all of Season 1 on Sky Comedy or Now TV. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.